Welcome to the BMX News Announcers Tower podcast. I'm Mike Carruth. One of the things we all know about BMX racing is that the life skills learned as a result of participating far exceed what our results on the racetrack may be. Identifying opportunities, setting goals, sticking to a program to achieve those goals, and adjusting fire along the way are all things that are required to be successful, both in racing and in life. Our guest today has had great success on the racetrack as 2018 USA BMX National Number One Girl, 2019 Red Bull UCI Pump Track World Champion, and countless other titles and accomplishments. Now she's fulfilling a nearly 10-year dream to write and publish her own BMX-themed children's book. It's my pleasure to welcome to the show Peyton Peanut Ridenour to talk about her forthcoming book, A to Z BMX Style. Peyton, welcome to the show.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me on.
Oh, yeah, I was excited to see your message and yesterday to see your post on Facebook about the book. And I was equally stoked to see that you were willing to do an interview with us and tell the, you know, Announcers Tower listeners, BMX News readers, all about the project.
Yeah, I'm super excited to get it rolling. It's been in the works for a little while now, and I actually made my first draft like over 10 years ago. So to finally get it going is awesome.
For sure. Yeah. Well, I definitely want to hear the story about that, as we all do. But first, I mean, it's been an interesting year this year, to say the least. Not much racing going on. I'm not sure if you were able to do much riding on your pump track bike, or if it's the same. We'll talk about that. But you picked up this project after a long layoff. I read some of the synopsis on your Kickstarter campaign and just talking about how you had the draft, like you just noted, and it was kind of in sketch form. And then after a while, you sort of put it down, and then you just kind of stumbled across the file recently on the computer, and that was what caused you to pick it back up. So tell us about how the book came about in the first place, and, you know, what it's all about.
Yeah, my Aunt Jennifer actually made a book like that's A to Z hockey style, and she made another one that's basketball style. And I was around 8, and we thought, wow, like, it would be really cool if we could make one BMX style, because there doesn't seem to be a lot of stuff in BMX that's like a book for the kids or something like that. So my mom and I wrote up a draft, and then it kind of just sat on the computer for a few years. And last year we just picked it up again and did a lot of rewriting, because I was so young when we wrote it together.
Yeah.
So, we picked it up again and did some rewriting and decided to try to get it rolling. So that's why we got some illustrations done and started the Kickstarter to help it get funded.
That's so awesome. And at 8 years old, you know, when you first started doing it, you know, you and your mom came, you know, to do it together. And then you're currently got a Kickstarter underway, as I just mentioned, and you're off to a great start. I think you have like 20% or almost 20% of your goal achieved so far. You've got some really neat rewards for backers, like that original sample board of the W. You can talk about that in a minute. But for the listener, we're going to give you the link to the Kickstarter in the BMX News article on this podcast. And so we'll talk about that a little bit later. But tell us a little about the, you know, what you were hoping kids would take out of their experience reading this book, a BMX and now, you know, like a bike related book.
Yeah. So there's not a lot of books out there, like I said, for kids, especially kids who love bikes, to try to get involved. So to have something that they can learn their ABCs and then connect it to something like bike racing, that they might be interested in, it would be super cool.
It really is. And what I even cooler is the subtext, so to speak, of the fact that, you know, by getting them early, by getting bikes in kids' minds early, it just ignites that imagination in them. And they say, you know, I want to do that. Let's, you know, I think that I talk about this with Donnie Robinson all the time about when we do our, you know, our beginner league programs out there. It's like one of the first things that kids say when they can walk with confidence is race ya. You know, they want to race, you know, and they want to do the cool stuff, you know, and I think that's what you're illustrating in the book, right?
Yeah, and even though the book is a BMX racing theme, it can be for all types of biking, like mountain biking, freestyle, just any kids who have an interest in bikes.
Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. So the process of doing this, you know, like you're pretty far along now. You're in the illustration stage. You're doing, you know, refinements and stuff like that. And you're getting ready to publish. So the process is obviously has given you some great life experience off the racetrack. And I don't want to lead the witness here, but, you know, but I'd really like to hear your story or hear a little bit about the process from when you found that file on the computer to where we are right now.
Yeah, when I found the file, we did a bunch of rewriting, and then the same guy who illustrated my Aunt Jennifer's books, we reached out to him, Andy Lendway, and he did an amazing job. We chose the W as our sample page, and he was able to illustrate something for us, and he doesn't know a lot about racing, so to see what he came up with, he actually did an amazing job, and it was just, like, almost perfect, so... we're stoked to have Annie to be working with us on the illustrations, and they're all in color for the kids, and it's going to be a great book if we get the $10,000 raised on the Kickstarter.
Yeah. So the, you know, as far as the $10,000, does that goes toward, you know, things like doing the actual illustrations? You have 26 of them, so there's a lot of investment there, and then you've got publishing fees and stuff like that, right?
Right, we have illustrations, printing, shipping, delivering, all that stuff. So
yeah. Well, I'm sure you're going to hit the mark on it, you know, for sure, and hopefully our listeners can jump in and join the fun because it's a great gift, you know, Christmas coming up, so now's the time if you've got kids, you know, siblings or, you know, anyone with kids or grandkids, it's a great way to spread the BMX love and stuff. So anyway, we're going to continue the pitch a little bit later, but I wanted to also ask, like, what did you have any roadblocks along the way? You know, we always talk in the context of racing about overcoming that adversity. In this project, did you have any roadblocks where it was like, oh man, I don't know if we're going to be able to get past this one?
We didn't have too many roadblocks, but COVID-19 was definitely a big one, but that's also a big reason why we brought the book again.
Right. And so was that kind of one of the, you know, that was one of the things that, obviously, if you were out there on the race circuit and doing all the training that you always do and stuff like that, you probably wouldn't have had time to be, you know, looking around on the computer and finding that file and reigniting that interest, right?
Right, exactly.
As we move forward, I have to ask, I mean, you know, being you're 18 now, is that right?
Right.
So you're kind of probably getting ready, gearing up for career plans, or at least thinking about it after BMX racing. What are your thoughts there? I mean, do you think you might want to go into some sort of journalistic endeavor or some sort of writing or that kind of thing?
I don't think I would go into something writing. I think this is just kind of like something fun on the side that I would do. But I would love to do something like kinesiology in the sports medicine field and kind of connect that back to BMX. I've been taking a few college courses to try to get ahead during quarantine since I'm not traveling anywhere. So I have some extra time to get ahead.
Yeah, for sure. That's awesome. That's always looking forward. I like that. And so are you going to go to one of the schools that is like a cycling program school?
No, I wasn't planning on doing that. I was doing a community college for 2 years, and then I was going to transfer somewhere different for my last two, which I'm not sure where that would be yet, but I have some time to figure that out.
And you live in Pottstown, Pennsylvania still?
Yeah.
Okay. So the track is right there in town, right?
Yeah. It's like 10 minutes from my house.
Very cool. So let's talk a little bit about what's going on in racing. You've picked up Mongoose as a sponsor, as a lead sponsor earlier in the year. And you had a few events, I think, that you actually got in before the whole world shut down. And so tell us first, you know, that this was your first pro year, right?
This is my second year junior.
Okay. So how does it work with the juniors? You guys had your own class at those first races?
Yeah, we had a junior class in Sarasota and Houston that I went to.
Okay. And you didn't go to Phoenix?
No.
Okay. So your first race, was it your first race for Mongoose at Sarasota then?
Yeah, my first race was Sarasota, but I also went to the World Cups in Australia at the beginning of the year.
Oh, wow. What was that like?
It was super cool. I had a really fun time with Team USA. All the staff was just super amazing, and all the athletes were super nice to me and wanted to include me. So I had a great time.
That was, I mean, obviously you've been to the World Championships before, I think, right? The BMX Worlds?
Yes.
So was that, was the World Cup, you know, like the vibe there and kind of all the, you know, I don't want to say pressure, but, you know, the butterflies and so forth, was it equal or greater than the BMX Worlds in previous years to you?
I think it was a little bit more just because I was so far away from home and there's just so many people that I don't know there. So I just get on the gate and I was in winter during the time, because it was end of January, early February, and I haven't been riding like any kind of supercross hill. So the butterflies were definitely going. I new bike, new team, but I've worked that all out now.
And then the wild card of the second race getting canceled, right?
Yeah.
In the middle of it all.
That was crazy. I did not expect that to happen when I went there, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, it must have been a huge disappointment just to travel all that way. And then you came back to the States, and then you did those two races, and then it was the COVID shutdown. But beyond the COVID shutdown, tell us about the kinds of racing you've done after that. I know we saw you in Indiana, which was awesome. What else have you been up to?
I've been spending a lot of time out at my pump track in my backyard. I've been working on it tons with my dad and my other friend, Scott Meckler, who comes over, and we just work on it all the time and ride. I think I work on it more than I ride, but it's well worth it. It's super fun, and I'm able to up my skills on it too a little bit.
Was Indiana the only race that you actually got in so far, or have you been to some other of those pro open races?
No, Indiana was my only one. I got to stay with Carly Kane and her family for a week leading up to it, which was super fun. But no, I was so stoked to get back on the racing scene. It definitely felt different than usual, but it was fun.
Yeah, and how did you do there?
I got 2 seconds and I won on Sunday.
So beyond that, with the pump track stuff, like you said, you're doing a lot of that out in the backyard. And you know, like, how did you get into it at that level where it was, you know, the high level of competition where you were actually going to the World Championships and then, you know, boom, here you are as the top female in pump track?
I saw the pump track thing in 2018. I was like, I think I would be pretty good at that. I've gone to the wheel mill in Pittsburgh and my track in the backyard, and I can like make a lot of track speed off of it. So we flew all the way out to Washington State for the qualifier just to test it out. And I ended up winning it and getting a all paid ticket to the world. So which just happened to be in Switzerland. So
wow.
I went all the way there and just raced in my jeans and long sleeve t-shirt and ended up winning. So
damn, that's killer. Yeah. I mean, you know, so like you were kind of this unknown, you know, gal who comes out of nowhere and, you know, and just took the whole thing by storm. I mean, you beat some serious names just looking down the list of those results, right?
Right, yeah.
That's awesome. Well, hey, all power to the BMXers, because that's, I mean, Tommy Zula, BMXer, you know, even though he's doing other things now, but I mean, you know, we can claim him as our, you know, from a roots point of view, and he was up there on the
right
top of the podium with. So what's the vibe like for at those races? I mean, you went to the one in Washington, you went to the World Championships. Is it much different than, say, a BMX National?
Yeah, I think it's a lot more different. I'm a person who likes to have more fun at the races and more laid back, and that's exactly how the pump track environment was. No one was like really like warming up or cooling down or like being all serious about it. Everyone there was having fun and a good time. And BMX, a lot of people are more serious and they're training for it all the time. And for pump track, like, I don't really train for it. I just kind of ride my bike and that's it. So, and it was also cool how there were BMX bikes there, mountain bikes, park bikes. It was just people from a bunch of different disciplines from all over the world got to come together and just share their love of bikes.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. So last year when you were, you know, riding those particular events, what bike were you riding? Were you riding your race bike, or did you put together another bike for it?
No, I just rode my race bike.
Wow. And you manual that thing like crazy as it is. So, I mean, you know, the pump track, you know, it probably adapted pretty well, right?
Yeah. No, I think, like, Tommy went on a dirt jumper and I went on my race bike. But I think the race bike's a little faster down the straightaways and the dirt jumpers are a little bit better in the turns, but I think they're pretty equal.
Did you adjust any of the, like, any of your equipment, tires, or anything like that?
No, I just kept everything the same.
I love it. Simplicity, yeah. Right?
Keep it simple. Right.
Rock and roll out there. There's, you know, there's a lot of people out there who think that more pump tracks around the United States, you know, across the, dotted across the fruited plain, would help BMX racing as a recruitment tool. I'm not going to give my own opinion because that's not important. You're the guest here. So what are your thoughts about that? Do you think that it's going to help recruit people into the sport?
I don't know if it would recruit more people into this sport of like racing, but I think it definitely helps people have like a starting point to do whatever kind of discipline they want, because it's kind of like the ground point where they get to test everything out, and pump tracks is a great way to just learn. So even if they go from racing to something on a mountain bike, freestyle, pump track can be the basis for all of that.
So you've been back in racing just, you know, as far as since the Stars and Stripes Nationals. Are you going out this weekend at all?
Yeah, I'm going to head out Saturday for Maryland. Nobody knows yet, but since this airs on Monday, I'll say it now. But I was going to make a little surprise appearance and hang out with Mason Hayes, my teammate, and see some people, do some practice. Might race the Pro Open against the guys. I'll see.
That'll be fun. Well, we'll definitely make sure to page back to the results when we run this and see how you did, if you made it. Watching you in Indiana, I mean, it seemed like you didn't skip a beat. I mean, you even, as far as I could see, even made some gains. You could tell when a rider's on it, and you look really good out there. So as far as going forward, you know, the Pro Series is canceled, so therefore I don't think there's going to be any junior racing. But what are you focusing on now as a racing goal for the year?
Yeah, like they have the pros at the end of the year for grands, like winner take all, but I heard that juniors aren't allowed to race the pros, right? And they're not going to have a junior class, so we have to race the amateurs. So right now I'm just doing the same thing I was doing, just training, hitting up a few nationals, pro opens if there are any, and that's about it. Depends. Grand, it's definitely a weird year.
Yeah,
with grands and everything, so I'll see what happens, but hopefully I do get some racing in.
Sure. So have you heard anything about the Red Bull Pump Track Worlds for this year? I mean, to try and defend this, you know, your rainbow jersey and the title?
Yeah, they actually canceled it this morning.
Oh, gosh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So then, therefore, you're going to be keeping it for another year. Is that how it's going to work?
Yep, I get to keep the stripes for another year. Not that bad. I don't mind it, but definitely bummed, but it was the right call to make.
I think so, because you can't, you know, there's the travel restrictions are so intense that, you know, it wouldn't truly be a world championships if, you know, half the world couldn't travel. Where was it supposed to be?
It was supposed to be in Austria.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, next year, maybe, I don't know. I'm sure they'll probably put it somewhere else next year like they are for the BMX Worlds, but we'll see. Well, we're running a little short on time on the segment, so this is the time in the show that we usually ask the guests to give us final thoughts, you know, for the listener, and shout outs, you know, to anyone you want to shout out to. And then, of course, obviously, plug that Kickstarter, get those viewers and listeners over there so that they can pick up the book and do some good.
Huge thank you to all the sponsors, Mongoose, Fly, Shimano, WD-40, everyone else who supports, my mom and dad, Scott Meckler, Jay Bertels, the best coach in the world, Ariel Martin, and that's it. Hopefully everyone can check out the Kickstarter and donate some money to get some funds raised to get it made.
Right on. Well, we're going to, like I said up at the top of the show, we're going to put that link right here in the story. So if you're listening and not watching, come on back to the website, bmxnews.com, and check out that link because that'll get you right to Peyton's Kickstarter page, and where you can belly up and become one of the backers. So I have to say, I'm super impressed with what you've done here, both with the, coming up with the idea years ago and then picking it back up and running as fast as you can, you know, down the proverbial starting hill with it. and it's going to be awesome to see the final copy. I actually have not yet gone and put in my Kickstarter, but I'm going to do that after the show. And I hope all of our listeners will grab a copy of A to Z, BMX Style, to share with their kids and their grandkids when the time comes. So, you know, you're going to have kids, you're going to have grandkids someday. Buy one now and put it on the shelf for 10 years or 5 years or however long that's going to take, because this is something that's very special. So, Peyton, once again, thank you for joining us on the show today. And keep in touch with us, will you? And once, you know, how things are panning out. Sounds good?
Yeah, thank you so much. And with the Kickstarter, what's cool about it is that if we don't meet our goal, everyone gets their money back. And there's a bunch of cool rewards, too. So, but thank you.
Definitely. Well, for Peyton Ridenour, I'm Mike Carruth. Thanks so much for being with us today.